Next man up, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good morning, Nashville. I wouldn't say it's a beautiful Friday. It's pretty rainy and kind of cold.
But, oh, it's beautiful.
But it's beautiful in our heart. Jake Lyman, of course, out today. He is off over at Memorial Stadium, or Memorial, whatever, gym. Thank you.
There we go. Memorial Gymnasium.
Easy, college basketball guy. Get your arenas together, is what they all are saying to me. He is off at Memorial Gymnasium calling Vanderbilt women's education game. Hopefully the score does not read 6-7, otherwise he will not be able to hear the rest of the weekend.
I told him better watch out for 17-6 or 16-7. Yeah. These kids still do that when
still
it's
do
6
it.
And 7.
I mean, they just start screaming. So Nick Frazier and I are in. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you today. Parker Kelly, of course, behind the glass, running the ones and twos today. How are we today, Nick Frazier? I know you've had a busy morning.
Yeah. I was telling Robbie and Joe this morning when I got here, I'm like, I don't know what it is with primetime games, but I'll fall asleep after the first quarter. And, of course, with this daylight savings, it's dark by 4 o'clock. So my brain's telling me, all right, it's time to start settling down. I eat dinner around 5 o'clock. That's just me. I'm an old man.
You are truly.
Might as well just put me in the home while you're at it. I mean, no, but I fell asleep after the first quarter. I was like, oh, the Bills will probably take care of business with this game. And I woke up around 10:45, and I look at my phone. I was like, oh, I wonder what the Bills did. And so as I'm walking up the stairs, I go lay down, and I check my phone. I was like, wait a minute, I just missed a really good game.
Yeah.
It ended like 20 minutes after I woke up, and Josh Allen, they pulled off a hook and ladder, and yeah, just threw that late game pick. So unfortunate for them, but yeah, my sleep schedule's all over the place. Didn't go to bed till like 2 a.m. And then woke up at 4, which I was fine.
You're on the college sleep schedule, pal.
Yeah, I got 5 full hours, which is fine.
Although I've reached unk status, I think. I'm like Kevin Garnett on the Nets. I went to bed at like 10:30 last night.
Oh,
I was tired. Tonight is going to be a late night. I got to go up to an MTSU dance celebration.
Let's do it.
Can't wait. I am thrilled with that. It's going to be a good time. Today's a bad day for me. I'm having a bad hair day.
That's all right.
Good thing it's radio, but
everyone listening knows you have great hair, so it's all good.
Not today. This is usually when I have bad hair days, I wear caps.
Yeah.
Today I was like, I don't really feel it, and I'm on radio. I don't have a face for radio. I have a face for TV.
There you go.
But I got the voice of radio, not to toot my own horn. I regret to inform you that, unfortunately, we will begin today with the Tennessee Titans. I heard Robbie and Joe talking about this on the way in, and I wholeheartedly agree with their statement. This is the kind of game that you look at on paper and just think the Titans are going to get absolutely smacked in this one. The Seahawks, I don't think, are a true Super Bowl contender just yet. They're good. They got a really good defense. I would call them the Legion of Boom 2.0. They got a dynamic receiver in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's got like over 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns through 10 games, which is absolutely absurd, just completely unheard of. And the Titans had an opportunity to draft him and didn't. But this is a matchup I look up on paper, and I think the Titans, especially with their secondary, are just going to get clapped. And I'm trying to avoid any negativity towards them because we know what the Titans are at this point. We know what the Seahawks are on some level. Sam Darnold's an MVP candidate quarterback. There's no denying that right now. It's just a matter of can he show that against the good teams in the NFL, contrary to some people's beliefs. He goes on YouTube today, by the way. Anyways, this matchup to me is just not favorable. A 2-touchdown favorites in the Seahawks. Is this the worst beat on paper you think the Titans are going to face today?
Maybe. I kind of look more towards the game in December where they take on the Chiefs, where the Chiefs have like a four-day rest period, which is one of the shortest in the league. I wouldn't say this is one of the games for sure, but I think because the Chiefs have their backs against the wall of possibly missing out on the playoffs, that's the game I think the Titans are going to get an absolute butt-whooping. But as for this Sunday, we're going to see the same result we've been seeing week in and week out. It's just going to be an abysmal watch. I might even turn it off after the first quarter. I mean, I might fall asleep, actually. If it's dark outside, I might. But just looking at the breakdown, you made a good point about Sam Darnold being a really good quarterback for this team. You know, if teams start double teaming, I guess double coverage, excuse me, for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, it forces Sam Darnold to really start, you know, looking at other options. And one of those options is A.J. Barner, who's been a pretty good tight end for them. You look at Elijah Arroyo, too, yep. the rookie out of Miami. Cam Ward's very familiar yep. with him. So they have some, you know, Cooper Kupp there as well. So that's somebody else to look at. But it just seems everything kind of runs through Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, they're off. It's interesting. Arguably two of the best teams in the NFC this year are A, in the same division, and B, teams that I expected to take a major step back, and they are running away with things. I mean, both have MVP caliber candidates. I would argue Matthew Stafford is the quarterback to beat in the MVP conversation, but it comes down to elite receiving.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, of course, have Smith-Njigba. The Rams have Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. It comes down to elite receiving. Speaking of receiving, Titans don't have that at all this week. It may be time to hashtag CTS.
Cough, cough.
Cough, cough. Catch that strep. And look, I don't think that would make a huge difference in the result. I hear Joe talk about it all the time, and I see where he's coming from. No one would give a better effort than Xavier Restrepo, and I agree. I think Xavier Restrepo would come out there and give his all because this is maybe his only chance with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the NFL is telling you something about Xavier Restrepo based on why he's not been elevated. I mean, we're elevating James Prochet and Mason Kinsey, of all people, before we elevate Xavier Restrepo. They elevated people this week that I didn't know existed before Xavier Restrepo. So I think the league, and more importantly the Titans, are telling you exactly how they feel about Xavier Restrepo without outwardly coming out and say, yeah, he sucks. I don't think he sucks. I think he's got a lot of talent. He's on all these leaderboards in Miami for a good reason.
All-time wide receiver leader
for yeah.
the Miami Hurricanes.
Sometimes these collegiate players just don't work out in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I'm torn between my thoughts here because we all think, and obviously the NFL, it could, you know, reflect that maybe Xavier Restrepo is not a great wide receiver. Maybe that is the case. But we also have to put into factor the coaching staff in Nashville right now for this Tennessee Titans team is not great either.
Right.
So could it be poor mismanagement of elevating and not elevating players? Could that be a factor as well? Can we not overlook that?
I think it's just lack of talent all around.
I agree. There is a lack of talent on this team 100%. But let's not discredit a guy that set a bunch of records at Miami, and sure enough, I'm sure I'll get, you know, Raz for all this, but the guy he's earning his stripes. He's working from the ground up, essentially. I mean, even Nick Holtz, I always reiterate this because I think it's hilarious. He called Xavier Streppel one of the best practice squad defensive backs they got out there. So, I mean, this guy could be the next Travis Hunter in some aspect.
Nick Holtz, known paperweight supplier yeah. of the Tennessee Titans.
No, but just give the guy a little bit of a chance, Restrepo. Like, obviously, everybody's all. I know I heard Robbie talking about this a few days ago that he's just sick and tired of listening to media talk about Xavier Restrepo, like the guy that has the most coverage and it was not even drafted. Mm-hmm. So, like, to your point, like, even the NFL passed up on him. Like, all these teams passed up on him. He could have been picked up at any time this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just give the guy a chance this Sunday. I think if he does catch a few passes, if he does get elevated, we could see some more Titans fans come in on Sundays.
Yeah, I think that would be the only storyline. Billing, hey, Cam Ward's throwing the ball to your best friend.
Yeah.
And they're playing against their former tight end. You could get in for $7.
But look, the positive about that is, you know, everybody talks about Cam Ward's development. Oh, he's doing this, he's doing that, like footwork here, love awareness in the pocket. Look, if he goes and connects a few passes with Xavier Restrepo, guess what? You're seeing development out of that quarterback from things they did in college together. Like, to me, if you want to see development in your quarterback, I think that's a little bit of it. You have to add that into the equation.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 6641 on our text line asks an interesting question that I think we'll get into more on the other side. But they say, what does success look like for the Titans on Sunday? Obviously, a win would be great, but we need to set expectations for a lot of these fans. What couple things would you look at for specifically to say, yeah, that was as successful as you could hope for, considering we completely suck and the Seahawks are good? That is kind of what I wanted to get into on the other side with you, Nick Frazier. How can the Tennessee Titans limit said MVP quarterback in Sam Darnold? And on the other end, How can they look comfortable against a good defense? What are some things they could go into this game and do, and you come away and think, yeah, they look pretty successful on that end? We'll get to that on the other side here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Nick Frazier, welcome to the greatest day of the week,
not named Tony Tuesdays. This is White Girl Friday.
Okay.
And this is iCarly. Did you ever watch iCarly growing up?
Maybe once or twice. I to be fair with you, I didn't watch that many like cartoon like TV shows.
Yeah,
per se.
I didn't watch it either. But this song is just ingrained. When you have a sister, the song is just ingrained in your brain.
See, I had an older brother, and I was kind of dodging paintballs.
I would be concerned if your older brother was watching iCarly.
No, we're 6 years apart, so like I always hung out with older kids. I was either playing baseball with them or dodging paintballs or doing whatever, just getting into trouble, just having fun.
He's a man's man, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a man's world.
It's a man's world. Great song. 94.9, speaking of where Jake Lyman is today, 94.9. The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Today, the Commodores take on Alabama State at Memorial Gym at 11 a.m., and pregame starts at 10:45 a.m. If you're wondering where Jake Lyman is and why you're stuck with these two bozos at 9 a.m. this morning. Let me quickly, before we get back into the Titans, give a quick shout-out to MTSU women's basketball last night. They did not win against Tennessee, but incredible turnout, over 10,000 in attendance, more blue than orange, which is not an uncommon thing in the SEC, if you get my drift.
Oh, I catch your drift.
And hopefully we catch the strep on Sunday. But just shout out to them. That program has come a long, long way. It is truly one of the great programs at that university, and it's fun to watch them grow. They didn't get the win last night. It's a very, very young team, only one senior on the entire roster. So they're going to be fun to watch this year as they continue to grow. But shout out to them. Shout out to anyone who was up at the Glass House last night supporting the Lady Raiders. I'm sure they greatly appreciate it.
Proud alum right here.
Proud
Love
alum.
To hear that.
Proud soon-to-be alum in about 5 months.
All right.
May 9th, or I think it's May 10th. If anyone's interested in coming to watch me walk down the aisle.
Graduation gifts for Connor Newt are suggested on the text line.
Yeah, 615-737-1025 if you want to send any premature graduation gifts. I like money. let's get back in to the conversation, and I'll reread this text because I think it is truly an interesting conversation to have. Texter asks, if I can find where it is. There we go. Texter asks, 6641 asks, what does success look like for the Titans on Sunday? Obviously, a win would be great, but we need to set expectations for a lot of these fans. What couple things would you look at for specifically to say, yeah, that was as successful as you could hope for, considering we completely suck and the Seahawks are good? So I ask you that question, Nick Frazier. What are some things that the Titans could go into this game, aside from winning, and do, and you come away and say, yeah, they looked about as good as they could look right there?
I'm going to steal a page out of Paul Kaharsky's book. He mentioned it, I think, Wednesday on Robbie and Rex Road, just talking about how if you're Mike Borgonzi and you see these young players in a J.C. Latham or a Cam Ward or a Chim Dike or whoever else, you want to see if they can improve in a game like this because they're the selling points. They're the toys on the wall where you're trying to sell them to the people in the store. That's what Borgonzi's doing. He's trying to sell this team in a roundabout way for the next head coach. And so if you look at a guy like Latham, and everybody's talked about it ad nauseum now, about his false starts and just his mismanagement of snap cadences and stuff like that, that stuff can be fixed in practice. Like, I'm not too worried about that. I think it's just become a lack of awareness and a lack of attention when it comes to stuff like that, the little things. Because we all remember when J.C. Latham came to Nashville and was drafted, the guy was running wind sprints and thunderstorms and rain over at St. Thomas Sports Park.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that J.C. Latham? That's what I want to see. I want to see that J.C. Latham back again.
It seems like he has fallen on the lazy train a little bit. I don't want to outright call him lazy because I don't know him personally. And
right.
I've had conversations with him, of course, but I don't think he is lazy. I think right now he's doing what a lot of players on the Titans roster are doing and really the franchise as a whole is doing and going through the motions. I think he knows that this season is a complete wash. So he's looking at it and saying, what could I possibly give that could end up in a win? And he's not doing that. And therefore being held accountable by Jeffrey Simmons, who I'm very appreciative is holding people accountable.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons has done a lot of maturing this year. And I think that him being on J.C. Latham's case as of late is a sign of that. I don't completely disagree with Latham in his ideas of this season's a wash. Why should I give everything I got? The only thing that it'll do is get us further away from a number one overall pick. But to me, that's not a player mindset he should have. That's a front office mindset. That's a we need to lose as much as we can so we can get the number one pick. And look, I understand that no player and no coach in the NFL is outwardly tanking. That is not what I am accusing J.C. Latham of. I am accusing him of having the mentality that a lot of players on this roster are having in this team is bad and I'm not getting anything out of this season for myself. So why should I give it my all?
Look, if you see the captain's list right now, a guy in Lloyd Cushenberry who came into this Titans situation is a focal point, right? Somebody you could look to as a leader. He's not that right now.
Nope.
I listened to his press conference a couple days ago. It was on Monday. It just didn't – he didn't seem with it. He was, like you said, going through the motions. You go to Cam Ward, who's still learning the system. And as a rookie quarterback who's named a captain, it's good for the future of the franchise.
It was a mistake this year.
Once again, they put him in the Will Levis situation.
Yep.
And I didn't understand it. I mean, you unretire Warren Moon's number for him, and I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole summer topic that frustrates me. But the fact is
– summer. This is a June topic.
Oh, yeah, June, whatever. I mean, you look at the captains on this team. Calvin Ridley no longer on the active roster. He's on the IR because of his broken fibula from last Sunday. There is no leadership right now that you can look towards if you're a young player in J.C. Latham or I mean, right now, from whatever I'm hearing from other people, like Paul Karski, Teron, everybody, they're saying that Kevin Winston Jr. is one of those guys that's kind of coming into his own. Like I wouldn't call him a leader just yet, but he's leading by example.
TD and I had that conversation yesterday on talking with TD. So
yeah, like you hope this draft class Borgonzi is drafted are all future leaders, because that's how the NFL works. You kind of recycle things through the draft, and when you can find a true leader at a young age, and a Latham or a Winston Jr. or whoever else is on that list, Cam Ward, another one of those. I mean, he's currently a captain, but I think he still has to develop into his own. The only North Star right now you can look at is Jeffrey Simmons. And like you said, he's holding everybody accountable, but you want to look at more of the how can Jeffrey Simmons keep those guys accountable and help them grow. Because right now it seems like it's Borgonzi's culture message through Jeffrey Simmons, Jeffrey Simmons' message from Borgonzi to the rest of the team. That's how it feels to me.
Which further solidifies my idea. Mike Borgonzi should be the only one making football-related decisions in this office.
Sure.
I don't want to hear from Chad Brinker and his cancer-curing AI, allegedly. Mike Borgonzi is the only football guy in that entire building. So he's the only one that should be making decisions. But back to the original question, you are saying that J.C. Latham needs to have a first-round pick level game.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he needs to have a first-round level pick game for sure because, again, goes back to PK's point Wednesday. What can Latham do to prove to Borgonzi that he has a solidified right tackle? Because you can't keep going back in the draft and cycling through right tackles and left tackles, because more than likely this Titans team is going to move off of Dan Moore Jr. after that second year of the contract.
The Mandor, baby.
The Mandor, yeah. Like, you got to keep looking forward to the future. And if you can't look forward to the future with J.C. Latham, then you have to go back to the well of the draft, and you have to supplement it somewhere in the fourth or fifth round of the 2026 draft.
I think if you're looking for slight wins for the Titans to have on Sunday, I'll go on the opposite end of the football. If you can manage to hold Sam Darnold and Jackson Smith and Jigba under like 300 yards, I think that is probably a win. Because looking at how thin this defense is, especially in the secondary, I mean, your number one matchup is going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba versus Jalen Armour Davis. That's not exactly a heavyweight fight, if you ask me. So I think if you can hold them to below their average, which I realize is a pretty much insurmountable challenge for this team, but I think if you can hold them around their average or even below that, that is a slight win for the Titans, because that means you played tough, and that means you kind of exposed a team that a lot of the national media is already crowning as Super Bowl contenders. I think if you can manage to limit the MVP caliber quarterback this season and maybe an offensive player of the year candidate in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think if you can manage to limit them just a little bit, then that might be a slight W in the column for the Titans.
100%.
In the moral code, at least.
And I think it reflects more on Denard Wilson from what he's able to do with this small group of defensive players he has to use, because there is nobody in the secondary right now. I mean, all you got is really Amani Hooker and, like you mentioned, Jalen Armour Davis, Samuel Womack, like a lot of these guys that are just waiver wire pickups.
Yeah.
And you're somehow keeping...
It's the island of misfit toys.
Yeah, and like the game they lost to Houston last Sunday, 16-13 on a walk-off field goal, you got to give a lot of credit to Wilson on that game, because the defense kept him in. Like,
I mean, that team just beat the Bills last night.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we all see what Houston's about. They're now 6-5. They have a winning record. They're above 500. This is a team where that defense looks really good.
They have an opportunity to get in to the playoffs. I wouldn't pick them to win the AFC South. But
yeah,
they have an opportunity to get in. I don't want to say at large bid, because that's a college thing, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, a potential wild card spot.
Yes.
Sure. Yep.
There we go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday. Prior to the Monday night football game, the Monday night matchup this week is the Panthers against the 49ers. Coming up next, we'll step away from the Titans, thank God, for a little bit. The coaching carousel in college football is now in full effect. The first domino has fallen, and they've been talking about this all week. I love to give my insight on it. I will pose the question to you before the break, and I'll pose the question to the text line and phone lines if you want to call in. If James Franklin, who was obviously just hired at Virginia Tech, they introduced him at the basketball game, came out to Enter Sandman. It was awesome. Anyways, if James Franklin, in his tenure at Virginia Tech, goes 9-3 every year and titleless, is it still a successful hire for the Hokies? We'll get to that coming next. On the other side, again, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yes. This is like a sad version of it, too.
No, this is the movie version.
No, this is the real version is like really, really upbeat.
Oh, I don't know. This is on YouTube.
Great
Frazier,
movie.
Frazier, do you recognize this song?
I'm sorry, I don't.
This is Camp Rock.
That's one of Jake's favorites. Yeah, right? Yeah. I haven't watched that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's Oscar winning.
I was like mad by the second one. The first one was good.
It's incredibly moving franchise.
I feel like I'm out of place. I really do. I need to get with the times.
No, it's just I'm with a different time than you are.
It's fair.
It's funny. You're talking about was it Wednesday? We went down a whole like hour and a half rabbit hole, all the guys that were here, of Kidz Bop. And we were just like researching. Yeah. It was pretty weird.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know.
615-737-1025. Welcome back in Next Man Up. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier with you. Let's talk a little bit of coaching carousel, which has quickly become my new favorite topic across sports waves. So the first spoke on the wheel is in motion. James Franklin, hired over in Blacksburg at Virginia Tech. He is a Hokie. He will take over next season in Virginia Tech. So, obviously, we know James Franklin's track record. He is capable of going 9-10 wins every single year, but can't win the big ones, can't bring home the chip, if that makes sense. So I ask you, Nick Frazier, if James Franklin goes to Blacksburg and goes 9-3 every year, which is something Virginia Tech fans can't say they've seen in a long, long time, but goes titleless at Virginia Tech, would you consider that a successful hire for the Hokies.
Absolutely. 100%. Because guess what? Eventually this playoff will expand a little bit, and 9-3 teams will be eligible for that playoff. I mean, hell, we might even see it this year with a 9-3 Alabama team potentially, or a 9-3 Oklahoma team, something like that. But the way Virginia Tech has hired James Franklin, the way he recruits in that area, I mean, it's a home run hire, and it's a home run future hire in my own eyes, because this is a team that can compete at a, you know, for years to come.
I would liken it to kind of what you and I are experiencing right now in the football world. If Kentucky or Mississippi State were to go 9-3 or 10-2 and squeeze into the college football playoff but not win, I would be ecstatic, because that means my team's on the map. And look, it's not a fan base that demands a lot unless you feed them a lot. If he goes 9-3 and squeezes into the college football playoff and they're continuing to do it year in and year out, yeah, sure, those fans are going to want more. They're going to want to see ACC titles, or we want to make it at least to the semifinals of the college football playoff. And I think that's fair. But as of right now, if he were to go in next year and go 10-2 with the Hokies, that is, first off, an astronomical rebuild with the team that he has right now. And look, I think he's going to be competing at the top of the ACC next year, because I know what kind of coach he is, and I think he's a good coach. But I think if he were to start off to go 9-3 the first couple years, maybe make it to the college football playoff one year, but go titleless, I think that would still be an absolute home run for the Hokies.
Yeah, I mean, next year I don't think they go 9-3. I think they go like 8-4.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's going to take time before he gets to the top.
Right.
Like competing with Clemson, and I mean, Clemson's not all that right now, but competing with Miami and Louisville and teams that are at the Georgia Tech.
SMU
that are at the top of the ACC. I think he's capable of being right in that pack next year. I don't know if he's completely going to dominate the conference, because he's never been the kind of guy to dominate a conference, but I think he can compete with the top.
Yeah, after year three in this James Franklin era at Virginia Tech, a lot of national fans of college football will start to see the evolution of the Franklin era, because he now has that full recruiting class in there. You know what you can play with. You know, you can pick your plays you like, you don't like, stuff like that. That is exactly what Virginia Tech Hokie fans want to see, is that evolution of the James Franklin era develop after year three. And I think that's where it comes into the equation of the ACC, and you made a great point about how he can dominate this conference. And I think he can dominate it with ease in 2 years.
Because the portal exists.
The portal exists, the NIL, we get all that. But let's be honest, Connor. The ACC is not a strong conference when it comes to college football. You're looking at the Big Ten and the SEC.
You're looking at a team or a conference that this year has the potential to not get a single team in if things play out the way that they could.
Look, if we had the Pac-12 still, you know, as a Power Five of conferences,
God rest its soul.
I know, right? The ACC is currently in the position the Pac-12 was the very last year they were a power conference. They were the little brother to the SEC. In the Big Ten. That's where I think James Franklin can capitalize and say, we can get an automatic bid in the ACC if we just win 9 games or 10 games, something like that. Make it to the ACC championship. That's all James Franklin really needs. I mean, sure, do you think, you know, Penn State fans are upset with the way things ended? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
that's a job no one's talking about, too. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. It's a tough shoes to fill,
man. I'm with Chase, though, on who I think is going to get that job.
Who's that?
Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I could see that. He does understand the Big Ten, you know, philosophies of football. I mean, I get all that. That is a good little idea. I never thought about that.
Well, I instilled the idea into Chase, and Chase instilled it into Big Joe, that James Franklin was going to Florida. Obviously, we were wrong.
I thought it'd be Florida State if they fired Mike Norvell.
Well, that's coming.
Yeah.
Trust me. A lot of your texts to get to on this matter, and a lot of Virginia Tech fans on the text line.
Really?
We welcome 615-737-1025. JP on the text line says, all I want to see as a fan is us to come back to consistency that Frank Beamer had us at, where we went to like 8 straight ACC championships and had like 12 straight 9-10 win seasons. That's from JP circa Devin and Dixon. So I think that is kind of the constant. 6641 says, considering VT hasn't had 9 wins and still no championships since 2017, why would that not be a success? Agree with you there.
Well, let me answer that question a little bit.
Go.
In today's day and age of college football, and I use this phrase all the time, microwave society, college football fans, and I was one of them. I got bit by the bug this year with Mississippi State. I thought, oh my goodness, they upset Arizona State.
They can still go bowling, though.
Yeah, they just have to beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, which, again, was part of my prediction last Saturday. Mm. But that's besides the point. The true point is we live in this microwave society of college football where everything happens at the snap of a finger.
Yep.
And people don't realize it takes a little time for things to develop. And to the texture, 6641, why would it not be a success? I'm with you. I think it would be a success, but the reason why it would not be a success is because people would get too impatient with the situation, and they go, oh.
It would gradually become not a success.
Correct.
The first few years, I think it would be, hell yeah, sign us up. We're back to relevancy. Then as you start seeing kind of the same thing, maybe this is our ceiling, then I think that's when fans would get restless.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, I think Hokie fans can look at this and be like, yeah, he can't win the big games, but I would love to be back in a big game in the first place. So 9013 says, I'm an NC State fan, so I'd be very happy with 9-3. I believe Tech fans will take it as long as you beat Virginia every year. I think that's kind of how you and I would feel if this were our teams. I'd take it as long as you beat Louisville. You'd take it as long as you beat Ole Miss.
It just takes the right coach.
Yeah.
Like with Dan Mullen, he put Mississippi State on the map. They made a bunch of stadium expansions.
On an extreme level.
Yeah. I mean, they were the first team ever in the college football playoff era to be ranked number one when they had the little voting thing or whatever it is.
Oh, Dak Prescott. Yeah, so. That was such a fun team.
Great team. Great team indeed. But, like, that to the point of that is that you got to find the coach that will put you back on the map, and James Franklin's definitely that guy.
Yeah, I think on paper, it's a home run hire. I think he's capable of getting some guys and some recruits that are going to help put this program back to relevancy. And I think you got to be a little bit patient. It's not going to be, oh my God, James Franklin's 12-0 in his first season at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I think you're right. He'll probably go 8-4, 9-3. But that is a hell of a lot more relevant than Virginia Tech has been since like 2017.
And if you're a Virginia Tech fan too, you got to remember you're not paying the front part of James Franklin's contract. If my memory serves me right, when I was on with Jake on Tuesday, he's getting paid $9 million from Penn State. Is that right?
Yes.
And then
it negated $9 million from his buyout or something like that.
Yeah, it was a big buyout. But, yeah, along those lines of there's not a lot of financial, financial strictness coming at
right.
all that. So. Something to look into.
Something to look into. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on James Franklin. Will he be a successful hire for Virginia Tech? Let's get into the bigger picture on the other side. With James Franklin off the board, obviously not going to these open jobs like Florida or LSU or, well, he just got fired from Penn State, but Arkansas. With James Franklin off the board, who are the ideal coaches for those remaining open jobs and even jobs yet to be open, like Florida State?
I got one that may surprise you because I saw some news about it on Twitter not too long ago.
There you go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you've got thoughts on that. We'll get to that on the other side right here on Next Man Up. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on 102.5 The Game. Look, Frazier knows this one and I don't. Is this, don't tell me.
You got it.
Ella Langley?
Bingo.
Bingo. I like it.
Incredible.
She's like the princess of country music right now because Lainey Wilson's the queen.
What about, where does Meg Maroney fall into this conversation?
I don't know, honestly.
Overrated.
Those two got her beat, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I'm
this
not
is
a Megan Maroney fan.
I like this. Good job. The Commodores will take on that team out in Lexington, Kentucky, tomorrow at First Bank Stadium. Pregame begins at 1 p.m. on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan with kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Let me also tell you that if you're looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium this Sunday, stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's is the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. So, welcome back in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman out today. He is over at Memorial Gymnasium calling Vanderbilt women as they take on Alabama State. Again, they are on the air at 10:45 over on 94.9 The Fan. So I am in with you as well as Nick Frazier. We're talking about the coaching carousel. The first spoke on the wheel has struck. James Franklin goes to Virginia Tech. And we kind of touched on what a successful season for them looks like, what a successful hire for them looks like. So let's broaden our horizons here a little bit, Frazier. With Franklin off the board, who are the ideal coaches for the remaining open jobs and even some that have yet to be open? Obviously, LSU's out there. Florida's out there. I think Mike Norvell and Florida State are coming to an end.
Yep.
Arkansas is out there. Penn State is out there. There are going to be some other ones that open up as well. Who are some ideal coaches for remaining jobs?
We all know that the big name in the G5 out of South Florida is Alex Golish.
Yep.
That's one guy that's kind of staying on my radar right now. I saw something on Twitter, I think, 4 days ago, give or take, 3 days ago. Which is 21st, so 2 days ago, excuse me. Mm-hmm. He canceled his radio hit with, I think, like 95.3. It's like the Tampa radio area. Mm-hmm. He normally does a weekly hit with them for South Florida football. And if you're canceling that, something's happening. Something's brewing. Because they're not making their AAC championship game. They're not going to the playoff.
Their season's over.
Right. They're just playing for a big bowl game, essentially. But to that point, though, teams like Florida State that were hopefully that opens up because that's going to be a hot commodity job in the ACC.
Yeah.
You also got to look at Oklahoma State. Everybody keeps forgetting about Mike Gundy's no longer there.
Yep.
That's another spot where Golish could go. I'm trying to think of some other spots.
Everyone for Golish says Florida. And I can see it because it's in-state.
Yeah.
But if I'm Florida, I don't want to go the G5 route again. Because people forget, Billy Napier, when he was hired at Florida, was Alex Golish. Mm-hmm. He was that darling G5 coach that everyone wanted to see. Oh, he's the next generation of coaches. He's going to help build this program for the future. And then it didn't work out. I don't know if they want to go that route again. Because they would be going back to square one. And maybe Golish would be a better hire than Napier was. But I feel like Florida, with the job it is and the donors that they have, especially a certain former Florida head coach, I feel like they would want to see an established guy. That's why I kind of threw out James Franklin out there. Obviously, it didn't come to fruition. But obviously, they're all in on Lane Kiffin. And it's a matter of what does Lane Kiffin do. And allegedly, Ole Miss has given him an ultimatum, which he denied. But he's going to say coach things. I think Florida would like an established guy out there. And Lane is obviously their first choice. I could see, you know, them going after who's out there? Who would be out there willing to leave?
I mean,
there's maybe like PJ Fleck over at Minnesota or something like that.
To me, I think PJ Fleck's complacent in Minnesota.
I do too.
The point where they love him there. They don't want him to go. I mean, sure, they've had a lot of stagnant seasons where they kind of end up middle of the pack, but they're always going bowling for the most part. You can't, you know, discredit that. One name that's kind of everybody, you know, throws out there is just for fun, but, you know, Ed Orgeron. Like, that's a guy that everybody's like, oh, Lord, Ed Orgeron, whatever. But no, seriously, that's a guy you got to have to consider because he was an interim coach with Ole Miss for a time, I think, and then he coached at USC for a little bit and, you know, all that stuff. He was all over the place.
But yeah.
You have a guy like that that loves football, wants to get back into it, why not? Give him a little bit of a coaching bump.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him going to, like, Oregon State.
I could see him going to Florida.
Really?
I really could, but because you look at a team in Florida right now that's dysfunctional. You have a lot of really good talent, especially in the quarterback, DJ Lagway. In my opinion, I thought, you know, Billy Napier kind of was holding Lagway back a little bit.
Mm.
You look at a guy like Ed Orgeron, that's a guy that kind of gives you that interim head coach bump. You know what I mean? Like when everybody thought, there you go, go Tigers, exactly. Everybody thought, you know, with Mike McCoy, he'd give a little bit of a interim head coach bump for the Titans. That didn't really work out.
No, it's opposite.
With Ed Orgeron, you can kind of get that a little bit. And if you have a full offseason, along with the NIL and the portal, it could bring Florida back to relevancy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
To me, Ed Orgeron, I don't think he's capable of landing a big job like that. Like, I could see him landing at, like, Oregon State or maybe Arkansas is probably the highest he can go. But he's – I think his time's passed.
But here's the thing, though. If Florida can go grab Billy Napier from, what, Louisiana Tech? Is that where he was at beforehand? Louisiana Tech, is that right,
partner? Please throw some respect on the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah. Oh,
excuse me. Louisiana. My bad.
Jeez, okay. They're people, too. The group of five are people, too.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that, like,
stop G5 hate.
Connor made the point earlier of how Florida doesn't want to go back to that G5, you know, aspect of hiring a head coach. I'm in the same boat. Then that would have to mean, look at a guy like Ed Orgeron. He's done a lot of good stuff for the game of college football, especially at the Power 5 or now Power 4 level.
Yeah. Can I give you a hot one
sure.
for the LSU job? That is a job I think they will go for the next up-and-coming G5 guy. I don't think they hire a college coach. I think they hire a certain offensive coordinator out in Buffalo, New York.
Bingo.
Bring back Joe Brady. He is beloved there. I think donors would buy in on him. He is one of the reasons they have maybe their greatest quarterback in program history in Joe Burrow. So I think they might be willing to take a chance on him.
And also, too, you add on to all the Joe Brady talk, it gives him time to develop as a play caller, two, a bona fide coach, head coach, that is, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he's familiar with everything. If you can prove yourself as a true head coach, then you can make that jump back up to the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think it gives you confidence as a coach. And we all know that a head coach job right now in the NFL, there's a few of them open. And there is a lot of spots that need to be filled. And when you don't have when you can't supplement for a good head coach and you're searching for things, sometimes it's good to take a couple steps back than go up.
I think he would make sense there. I think he would do well there. I think he would help recruiting. He would obviously call his own plays, and I think he's a great offensive play caller. I just feel like his style of offense fits college football so well, and I think LSU likes him enough to bring him in. I think Joe Brady would be a great hire for LSU.
Absolutely.
And I think second would probably be John Sumrall.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him going to Florida.
Yeah.
I think about it.
Yeah. Kind of same argument. I don't know if they would go G5, but
I know it kind
of. Well, he was scheduled to meet with Florida, and then he canceled it.
Ooh. So maybe he likes Tulane. Maybe he's just locked in on Tulane.
I think Auburn is a legit possibility with Sumrall.
Oh,
I keep forgetting about Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn. I would not take the Auburn job if I was anyone.
Really,
Auburn has the expectation to win a national championship every year, but they're not patient enough to let the rebuild happen. And then they make a terrible hire. Like, when Hugh Freeze was hired, we all knew it was a bad hire.
Yeah.
Like, he did a lot at Liberty, but he didn't, you know, it wasn't, we knew what he was, right?
Yeah.
Like, at Ole Miss, we knew what he was. And he was good at Ole Miss, but then things happened, and he got fired and went to Liberty and did good things there, but we knew what he was. So when Auburn hired him, we all thought, that's got 6-6 written all over it, and sure enough, it did, and now they're even worse than that. So administration there, I think, is too quick-triggered. I think they're too trigger-happy and fire guys on the spot without letting the rebuild process happen. So if I am a guy looking at Auburn, don't.
I mean, if Auburn finds the head coach they want and they fall in love with them, I feel like you got to be a little patient with them, right? You have to.
You have to, but they won't. That's the problem.
Yeah, we'll see. What, Scott Strickland is the athletic director over at – oh, no, I'm sorry. John Cohen, former Mississippi State baseball head coach.
John Cohen.
Yeah. John Cohen's the AD over there, so we'll see what he does. But it's just – I don't know. The impatience in the SEC, obviously every year you want to be a big winner, but, you know, it just takes time.
You know what? Let's continue this conversation.
Okay.
To start the next hour. Because coaching carousel's fun.
Oh, yeah.
615-737-1025, the game. 1025 is the phone number.
Yeah.
If you've got thoughts on the coaching carousel, where people will land, potential sleepers to land jobs, we'll get to all of it next. In the second hour of the program, quickly let me tell you that this Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Eagles versus Cowboys at 3:25 p.m. on 1025 The Game. NFL game of the week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Masero in 12 South. We'll get to more of the coaching carousel thoughts on the other side. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on 1025 The Game.